I want to begin today with a series of questions that I'd like for you to consider. And the first one is, who in the Bible said these things? The Lord will provide for himself a lamb. You know who said that? Now some of you are probably saying, yes, Abraham said that when he was about to offer Isaac his son as a sacrifice to God. Who said, you intended it for evil, but God meant it for good? And there are some who are thinking that was something Joseph said when he forgave his brothers for selling him as a slave into Egypt. What about, let my people go? Well, nearly everybody knows that Moses said that before the Pharaoh of Egypt. As for my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said that, didn't he? Who was the woman who said, where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge? That was a statement that Ruth made to her mother-in-law, Naomi. In the New Testament, who said, not my will, but yours be done? Jesus said that in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the history of our country, who said, give me liberty or give me death? Well, that's Patrick Henry, isn't it? Who said 67 years ago? Now, that was one of our greatest presidents, Abraham Lincoln. Who said the only fear we have to fear is fear itself? FDR said that about the time of the Second World War. Who said, ask not what your country can do for you? Well, we remember that JFK said that. Who said, I have a dream? Well, that was Martin Luther King, Jr. Let me ask another question. Who discovered the polio vaccine? Jonas Salk. And many of us know that name. Now, I've asked those questions in order to ask this question. What do all these people that have been mentioned here have in common? And this is the answer. They were all committed to a cause. Now, all the causes were not of the same importance. But all of these people were converted, were concerned with a cause and were committed to that cause. When we get our commitments right, we're able to see the things that we should see. In the words of the song of yesteryear, if we get our thinking right and our commitment right, on a clear day, we can see forever. And that's my emphasis today, is getting our commitments right and seeing what we need to see. And two things as a means of introducing us to our study today, I hope we can see. When Jesus Christ came into the world and died for our sin, he gave us the greatest expression that we've ever seen. He was committed to us. and he laid down his life for us. And the other thing is that there is no indication, Scripture, that he will ever accept from us the mediocrity of non-commitment. To the contrary, he has said, he who is not with me is against me. It's all or nothing with Christ. He who is not with me is against me. To the Laodicean Christians in Revelation chapter, because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. There are no half measures with Christ. Today, I hopefully can lead us in a study and commit ourselves more fully to the cause of Jesus. Now let's begin with our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the reason I want to begin here is because in this first letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, he laid down motivation for our being committed to the cause of Christ. And I love the Corinthians. And before us, too, that this letter is sent, God, which is at Corinth. We are, lays upon us the fact that we are the called out people who before were not. Then, number two, he says, in Christ. We are reserved for Christ. We have become his people. And we're set apart for the service of Christ, not because of us, but because of him. Number four, all who in every place call the name of Jesus Christ our Lord and ours. We are the ones who have called upon Christ for salvation. You remember when Saul of Tarsus was confronted by Ananias the preacher, he said, now why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We've called out for salvation and we've responded to the gospel. Number five, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received from God. We are the recipients of his grace, his favor that we can never earn. And because of his grace, we have peace with him, and we can have peace with ourselves. And then number six. In verse 5, he said that you were enriched in everything by him. God has given us everything that we need in a proper relationship with him and with ourselves. Number seven. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are eagerly looking for the second coming of Jesus. And we can look eagerly for his coming because of what we become in him. We have no fear of the future. We only anticipate blessing. And number eight, at verse 9, he said, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We have fellowship, a joint sharing with the very Son of God himself. Now just think, in light of those few verses, God has done for us. And should we not be motivated to be what he wants us to be? See clearly, with me then, to my second point. Christ calls us to commitment. The call of Christ is a call to commitment. Jesus emphasized the importance of choosing. In Matthew 10, he who loves father or mother me, and he who does not take his cross for me is not worthy of us there, that when we become a Christian, decide to follow him, that we ought to love than we would have had we not followed Christ. We ought to love our children less, no more, and to love children more. It isn't that we love, but it is to say that commitment, even those that are us to us in this world, that's straight if we're going to follow Christ. In Luke 14, verse 33, he said, be of you who does not make all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, would you read that ever? And if you have any money in your pocket, you ought to give it a house down. But what he is saying is that nothing can be put before him. And whatever we put before, our devotion forsaken that yet. We learn that. Can we understand that? He committed everything for us. And he later on in the reading of Luke, passage that's found where somebody can follow you wherever you go. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the heavens have nests and the Son of Man. He was saying to that volunteer, you are speaking too quickly. You haven't stopped long enough and that's going to be paid if you follow me. And he rejected him. In the same text, he said to someone else, follow me. And the person said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first bury my father. Now, the problem of that second person there is not burying his father. The problem was, he said, let me first. Me first. Christianity. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do so long as you let me do what I want first. And it seems that the person must have been saying, Lord, there'll be plenty of time yet to serve you and to follow you, so I'm going to stay home until my father passes away and I'll take care of that and then I'll follow you. And Jesus rejected it. To another he said, follow me, and he said, I will follow you, but let me first, same problem, let me go home and bid farewell to those of my father's house. Whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, those statements may seem to be, on the surface at least, hard statements, but Jesus is commitment. He wants us to follow him, but he says, in effect, if you're going to follow me, recognize that there is a price to pay. And that hasty, immature, indecisive willingness to follow Christ at some other time or according to one's own way, he rejected. But the call of Christ is a call to commitment. If we're going to follow him, we are going to be committed to his calls. We're going to be committed to him. So that brings me to definition. Here's a word that we've been talking about, commitment, and Christ is calling us to commitment. What does it apply to where I live? And there are four parts to the definition of commitment that I want to emphasize here. The first is that commitment means to place in trust for safekeeping. That's sort of like when you put your money in the bank. You commit it to the bank for safekeeping. And when we commit ourselves to the Lord, we're placing ourselves in his hands for safekeeping. In the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul was on his way to Rome as a prisoner. He was on a ship. A lot of other people were along. There was fear that everybody was going to be lost in that storm. And Paul said, I belong to God and I serve God. I belong to God and I serve God. Which was to say, I have committed myself to him for safekeeping, and so don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. This ship is not going to perish at sea. Second, commitments to pledge oneself happens when we become Christians. We pledge ourselves to God through Jesus Christ. Paul caught the meaning of that in 2 Timothy 1:12 when he said, I know, believed, And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto the end of the world, the day. He pledged or gave himself to the Lord, and he was confident that that was not in vain. Third, commitment means to openly declare one's allegiance. And Paul had done that. When he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 21, he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For me to live is Christ. Christ is what my life is about. He openly declared his dedication to Christ. And number four, commitment means a definite course of action. Again, to the Philippians in chapter 3, 13 through 15, Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and pressing on to the things that are before, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." A definite course of action. Now, when we're committed to Christ, we place ourselves in his hands for safekeeping. We deposit our lives with him. We are devoted to who he is. And we know that he's going to provide what we need so that the outcome is going to be great indeed. So we place ourselves in his hands for safekeeping. We dedicate ourselves to him, to belong to him. We openly avow our relationship. And we seek to live the way he wants us to live, a definite course of action. Now let's move from definition to illustration. Commitment to Christ is illustrated in any number of ways. It can be illustrated even from the Old Testament, where one's commitment to God was so great. Take, for example, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah never forgot that day in his life when he went up to the temple. And he saw the glory of God. And he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. It's over for me." But the Lord touched his lips, healed him of his iniquity, forgave his sin. And then in verse 8 of Isaiah 6, God said, "Who will I send? Who is going to go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." That is commitment. Here am I, send me. When Jesus called those fishermen of Galilee in Matthew chapter 4, 19 to 20, he said, "Follow me," and here's where the commitment is. He said, "Follow me," and they left everything and followed him. Remarkable. There were so many reasons that they could have given for not going. This was their livelihood. What would their families, who were dependent upon them, think or say? And they left everything and followed him. That is real commitment. In 2 Corinthians 8, in verse 5, when Paul was stirring up the Corinthian church because they had made a promise to give a gift for the poor and they hadn't come through with it, and he pointed to the Macedonian Christians who were poor while the Corinthians were rich and who were struggling while the Corinthians had little struggle. And he said, "They gave and you need to give. But here's the secret of it." He said they first gave themselves. That's what Christ is really looking for. He isn't looking for so much of our time and so many of our abilities or so much of our money. What he's looking for is us. And commitment is they first gave themselves to the Lord. Have you ever given yourself to the Lord yet? I've been a Christian for so many years. That wasn't the question. The question is, have you given yourself to the Lord? That's the beginning. In 1916, Sarah Andrews, a single woman, age 24, went to China to share her faith with the Chinese. That was in 1916. For the next 45 years, Sarah Andrews was in China. Far from home, far from family, far from friends, she was there sharing what she knew about Jesus. She even died in that land and was buried there. And I submit today that Sarah Andrews is commitment. Commitment is the elderly widow who has difficulty even getting around, but who will never miss a church service. Commitment is a young person who will refuse to go along with the crowd and will stand for Christ. Commitment is the man on his job who lives in such a way that his co-workers do not think that he lives differently on Monday than he does on Sunday. Commitment is the wife and mother who loves her husband and her children so much that she would never think of putting anything above her devotion to Christ. And she lives that before her husband and children. We understand, I think, what commitment is. The rub is that we have difficulty committing ourselves to what matters most. We can commit ourselves to a lot of things. There isn't any question about that. But if we commit ourselves to things that will not make any difference in 100 years and fail to commit ourselves to what will matter forever, have we made a great choice? Now let's move to application. Commitment takes place when one becomes a Christian. When you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and you are going to embrace Him, that faith is commitment. When you repent of your sins, you're sorry that you've offended God, and you're turning from that, and you're going to walk in a different direction, that's commitment. When you openly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's commitment. When you're baptized and then raised to walk in newness of life, that is commitment. So when you became a Christian, you were not just going through some motions, were you? Further, living the Christian life is a life of commitment, where the attitude of the Christian is, not my will, but yours be done. You ever ask that question? Lord, what will you have me to do? Not my will, but yours be done. And then finally, demonstration. How do we demonstrate commitment? And I want to make three suggestions right quickly. One is we need to know what matters most. And when we know what matters most, we give ourselves to what matters most, That's a demonstration of commitment. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, to fear God and keep his commandments, have a holy respect for God and obey God, that's the whole duty of man. Don't miss that. That's the whole purpose of life on this planet. Don't miss that one. Number two, commitment is demonstrated by our willingness to stand alone if necessary. If no one goes, I still will conform to this world, but I'll be transformed because my mind is different now that I'm in Christ. And number three, commitment is demonstrated by being who we are. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And you are the light of the world. The salt of the earth. What does salt do? It preserves. And we're in the business of preserving the world. Saving the world. Salt preserves. Salt creates thirst. We're in the business of feeding people to hunger and thirst for Christ. Salt gives flavor to, and we're in this world to give flavor to the life that one can live in Christ. We're the salt. We're also the light that dispels darkness. The light that stands for something. The light that gives direction. It's a demonstration of our commitment to Christ. So in conclusion, I want to say today that imperfect people can be committed to Christ. Commitment doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake. Imperfect people can be committed because when we do fall, when we do turn out of the way, when we do make mistakes, when we sin, we can always continue in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ will keep on cleansing us from sin. Imperfect people can be committed people. And I would want to say in conclusion, too, that it is possible to be inoculated with Christianity. Well, what's that mean? You know, our children are given shots to prevent various diseases. They're inoculated. They get what that really means is they get a little bit of the disease, and that wards off them getting the whole thing. And if my observation is correct, there are people who are inoculated to Christianity. That is, they got a little bit of it, but they never could get the whole thing. Somehow, they just could not embrace all of it. They just want to go a little way with Christ. And Christ is calling us to wholehearted commitment. In a jewelry store window in New York City, there was a little gold cross and chain displayed. You've seen them. Many people wear them around their necks. There's this golden cross and chain displayed in the jewelry store window. And underneath the chain and the cross, there was a little sign that said, on easy terms. We'd take the cross on easy terms. But the committed Christ, who went the way of Calvary, is calling us to commit our very lives to him. And it isn't a take it or leave it type proposition, where we can take what he says or we can just sort of hang on and leave what he said out of our thinking and think of it as not being really all that important, that I can serve him on the easy. And if that, we will be disappointed. The call is a call to commitment. What is the difference between a good church and a great church? What's the difference? And I want to submit that the difference is between a good church and a great church, the difference is the percentage of people in that church who are completely committed to Christ. And as that number increases, good changes to great. And as that number decreases, the potential of greatness fades and we become good or inferior. And we choose what that's going to be. And it does not start with the group. It starts with the individual. And the choice that we need to make today, personally and individually, we need to ask ourselves, how committed am I to Christ and to the church and to this church and to the people of God? And I'm going to choose to take Christ seriously. And he who gave everything for me will get everything that I am and have. I wonder if anyone would hear a call like that today. And we're here at the front to help. You can come. Let's stand and sing.